Hey, it's John Lee Dumas of EO Fire, and it's The Entrepreneurial You, the show for dedicated and passionate Caribbean entrepreneurs seeking daily inspiration, brought to you by author, speaker, and award-winning entrepreneur, Henneka Watkus Porter. You must be prepared to ignite.
So, my amazing, amazing listeners, you know, it's another day, another podcast day, and I'm super, super excited. Yeah, I have a lot going on, but I'm still excited about today because it is indeed podcast day. So welcome to another episode of the Entrepreneurial You podcast. I'm your host, Henneka Watkus Porter. Now, in this episode, my guest today, she's going to guide us on how visionary leaders can overcome self-limiting beliefs, those stories that they've been telling themselves, you know, and stand out fearlessly and achieve the income and the impact that they so richly deserve, right? So from her experience as an executive of a national e-commerce startup to owning a private Pilates studio in Los Angeles, her insights will inspire and empower. That's what we want. But before we proceed, you know how we do. Gratitude is a must. So first, let's take a moment to hear from our valid partners.
We needed to raise capital, but our experience with local financial institutions was that they were cautious and slow to act, and interest rates were far too high. We had real concerns about financing our business through outside equity investors and the possibility of interference. Could we get a fair valuation for our business? We had our own ideas about the business and its value. Should I go the traditional route of bank financing, or should I try the Jamaica Stock Exchange? So we made a call and experience transformation of our business through conversations. I'm John Mahfood, CEO of Jamaican Teas, and we're listed on the Jamaica Stock Exchange.
Give us a call today at 876-967-3271 to begin your transformation through conversation. We want to see your company listed on the Jamaica Stock Exchange.
Welcome back. Today, we are joined by an extraordinary individual, an award-winning high-performance coach, TEDx speaker, and founder of FoundYourself.com. From entrepreneurial beginnings at age five, yes, you heard me right, five, to becoming a certified Pilates instructor and Miss Congeniality, Kimberly Spencer has a remarkable journey to share. Get ready to transform your self-limiting stories and build your empire fearlessly. Kimberly Spencer, drum roll, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so honored to be here with you, Henneka. I'm just giddy, just absolutely giddy.
Yeah. I see it on your face for real, yeah. All right, so before we dive into that empowerment conversation, here's a fun one for you. If you could have a dinner party with three historical figures, dead or alive, who would they be and why?
Ouch. Jesus.
Yes.
Mary Magdalene.
Uh-huh.
And I want to say, well, at first I was like Nelson Mandela, because just such a beacon of peace. But I'm like, if I'm at a table with Jesus and Mary Magdalene, yeah, I would like to have a conversation with someone who is terrible and like see the polar opposites.
Yeah, I like it.
You know, of the spectrum of humanity. Of like, okay, so you have Jesus on one side, but then just somebody who's like Attila the Hun or like
Hitler.
Yeah, somebody of Stalin. You know, somebody who is just who did horrible atrocities, to see the dichotomy in thinking pattern and like, and if there are any potential redemptive qualities for a human that has sunken so low.
I love it. I love what you're thinking. Guys, can you tell that we're going to have an amazing time just listening to how Kimberly is thinking, her brain works. I am intrigued already. Yeah, that sounds good. I love it. All right, so we're going to be looking at crowning yourself and building your empire fearlessly. But before we get to that part of it, you know, that's kind of like the icing on the cake and the final touch of stuff. What we want to do, we want to kind of pick Kimberly's brain. We want to get into little 5 year old, because you heard that intro, guys. You heard it. Like 5 years old, like, hello, what's that? Let's talk about that.
Yeah. So I started, I didn't know what I was doing. I was split testing price points at 5 years old, selling bags of glitter water for 5 cents or $50 to my neighbors. And I don't think I honestly think kids are naturally creative and entrepreneurial, because an entrepreneur is creative and they're solving problems. And I have 2 kids. I have a 6-year-old and a 2-year-old, and they are constantly pointing out flaws or problems that I'm like, oh, I might need to fix that. Okay. They are so observant, and they're naturally creative, and they're better problem solvers. There was a great study done of the creativity of problem solving. Kids were more creative than those who were getting their master's in graduate school in how they would perceive and solve a problem. And I think that there is something so powerful when we foster that in our children. So like, I didn't make any money. I think I made a couple nickels from selling bags of glitter water, but then I would put on like plays, which in my backyard, which have a built-in audience. And so, I mean, if your kid is in a play, you're going to go see it and you're going to pay for a ticket. Like you're just going to do that. So it had a built-in audience, which meant it had a built-in revenue stream. So there were many things. And I was raised by 2 entrepreneur parents. So I saw my parents grow a business from nothing to a multi-million dollar company in the last few years of it, while my dad was an addict the entire time. So I saw that path and I said, well, if he can do that in 30 years, like what could I do in 10?
Wow. Wow. Interesting thought process there. So let's talk a little bit about your family. As you mentioned, your family, you know, now let's talk a little bit about that. What kind of a background was it? What type of family did you grow up in, Kimberly?
I mean, my parents were so loving and so amazing. My dad has passed now. But they always believed in me no matter what. So I have this like foundation of like deep belief, but I also had some childhood trauma and like growing up with an addict. And in the time that I was younger, it wasn't as much when I was older until I was a teenager. And then it was just a nightmare. But when I was a child, like my dad was a highly functioning addict. So to the rest of the world, he seemed fine. He was gregarious. He was open. But I always could tell, like, by the sound of how he would approach the door, which dad was coming home. And I would have to calibrate that, because I have a lot of compassion for him now, because after having lost him, he passed in 2021. I was pregnant at the time of my second child and living in Australia. So I couldn't come home because of COVID. And that experience allowed me to really reflect. And I said, wow, the times that were the most traumatic as a childhood, when my dad was drinking the heaviest, it was in between the years that he had just lost his parents, who he also had a very complex relationship. He also was abused by his mother. He also was, I mean, he was kidnapped as a kid from his mom and told that his dad left them and his dad couldn't find them for 2 years. So like what that does to a person's psyche and the generational trauma that sometimes we pass down, like that he unfortunately did the best that he could with the resources that he had, and he just had limited resources. So he always believed in me. I know he loved me deeply. He also had the side that was abusive and physically, occasionally, definitely emotionally, and then sexually.
Let's talk a little bit about that. I want to get into your journey, entrepreneurial journey. But you know what? I want to stay a little more, because this was recently I was having a conversation in a group with some, you know, content creators. I kept saying to them, part of the things I wanted to do, like I'm at my sweet spot when I'm having a conversation with a person about their real life stories, not necessarily about entrepreneurship. Like this, yes, surprise, surprise. So this show is about entrepreneurship, but I would rather have a conversation with you about those, you know, those issues and how did you deal with them and so on and so forth, and marketing and sales and all of that, right?
Well, I think it all plays into it too. It's like, you know, to successfully do sales, you have to have a level of self-worth, self-understanding. Mm-hmm. And there have been a few times in my career throughout multiple different industries that I haven't had that because of beliefs that I've had from childhood that maybe I had to reprogram, shift. Mm-hmm. Like there's a reason I do what I do today as a coach with my company, Crown Yourself. And it's because I see there comes a point where things do come up, like your past and your programming whether it was positive, negative, supportive, horrible, traumatic, like whatever it was, there comes a point where it's going to rear its head because we're not these automaton robots who, where our business life is separate from our personal life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And sometimes, you know, I have to remind myself about that because I remember too, even doing an episode on forgiveness. And this is also something I shared last night. And I remember that was early on in the years of the Entrepreneurial You. And when I did that episode on forgiveness, I kind of personally, I was cringing. I wanted to explore it, you know, but I was cringing. And when I was editing, I was even feeling like I was editing out so much because I didn't want it to come across as a soft, you know, podcast kind of vibe.
Yeah.
But you know what happened, Kimberly? That episode, that was the one that I got so much feedback from. To date, the most feedback on, because I dared to delve on a matter which the truth is, for every individual wrestling with unforgiveness, it is going to negatively impact your growth. It's going to negatively impact how much you can do, how much you can accomplish. So I think our conversation right now and seeing how much you have accomplished, but notwithstanding all the things that you have gone through, right? It just goes to reason that, you know, as human beings, we are so multidimensional, multi, all kind of things. And so it's necessary. Before I get a little more into your journey, Kimberly, I want us to explore your emotions, living through the things that you live through as you get into being a young adult, you know, teenager, being a young adult, and what kind of a person was created as a result of what you've been through.
Very simply, the person that was created was a high-performing control freak, where I thought if maybe I was skinny enough or I was smart enough or I got enough good grades, then my father would stop drinking. And so I became a high performer, but I also battled a 10-year battle with an eating disorder because that was the only way that I could control my environment. That was how I found some like modicum of control to be able to find a level of peace. Cause I didn't, you don't know what you don't know, especially when you're growing up in a certain environment. So I thought my environment was normal. Like I thought that having very blurred lines with boundaries and that to walk into a door and you walk around your house like in your underwear and like in front of your 6-year-old daughter and her friends, like I thought that was normal. And then I thought it was normal that kids didn't come over to my house, and I thought that was my fault. It's like I thought that was me for years. In fact, it took me for like 30 years since I was with my husband. Then I had the breakthrough. I was like, God, it wasn't me. Knowing that, where I was like, if I came over to my kid's house at, on a play date and the father was walking around in his underwear with his bottle of scotch, I would have a problem with that. I would not let that my son play with that child. Again, not because I didn't like the child, but because I'm like, I don't want to expose my son to anything that could put him in harm's way. So there are so many things that I experienced growing up and that I thought was normal until I realized that they weren't. When I was 16, I came out as bulimic to my parents. And I told my mom, and my mom was horrified. And my dad was like, oh, I do that sometimes. And I was like, okay, that's not really the response I was going for. But it was my mom that saved my life. Like I realized that an eating disorder was a slow form of suicide the moment that she literally tackled me to the ground and said, I'm not letting you kill yourself, Kim. You're too valuable. You're amazing. You have so much to give this world. Like you're such a blessing. And that was when I realized that an eating disorder was a slow form of suicide. And then I also realized I didn't want to die. And so I knew I was going to find my way out of that process. And I found that through Pilates and somatically. And I found Pilates when I was 19 years old. And at that time, I'd been working in Hollywood. And I dropped out of college 2 weeks before I was supposed to start because I was like, I'm going to go full bore into show business. And with my parents' support, because they saw how entrepreneurial I was and how I approached it like a business. And so by the time I was 19, I had my first feature film under contract and I was writing that. And then simultaneously teaching Pilates, which was my first business as a freelancer. And it was through Pilates that I found that medium because I said, this is the first time I'd ever felt good in my body. I didn't know how to exercise. I was an exercise-induced asthmatic, couldn't run a mile to save my life, had no idea what I was doing at the gym. I knew I needed to work out. I knew but fitness was not a thing in my family. And so when I went into Pilates, I was like, this, I can serve, I can help, and I can create my own schedule. Like, this is a great outlet. And then it was within those 2 years that I removed myself from the environment of my family's home. I started surrounding myself with clients where I was working about 10 hours a day, teaching in the morning, 5 hours, teaching at night, 5 hours, the prime time for trainers. And then in the middle, I was able to audition and write my screenplays and whatnot. So I was very busy in my 20s, in my early 20s. But it was in that space, because I changed my environment, I started to observe through my clients and their experiences, like just sharing certain things that were going on in my life, because you build a rapport. And then they would share things that are going on in their life. And I would look at their relationships and their lifestyle. And there were some that I was like, yeah, I really want that. I want that. And then there were some that I was like, no, I really don't want that. And I could hear and see their thinking as they were communicating. Like a great example was when I was training, I think I was 20 years old, and I have two clients. I had one who was a stay-at-home housewife, single mom, but divorced. Everything was paid for by her husband. Her kids were grown, and she was the most stressed out human I'd ever met in my entire life. Like literally there was a stress belly, like so stressed, like her obsession with the napkins for like PTA meetings was a real thing. And on the polar opposite, I had another client who was a very successful lawyer, mom of two with one on the way. She'd come in at like 9 o'clock at night for her Pilates. And like we'd train, and I would see her and I was like, what's your story? What's your background? And it was when hearing the stories, like, and their belief systems of what they believed busyness was, what they believed productivity was, what they believed in purpose. And that was where I had this beautiful dichotomy of an example within my environment of two opposing belief systems. And then that's when I realized you have the power to choose. You have the power to choose the belief systems. Like the ones that you have or the ones that you grew up with as a child, they don't have to be the ones that remain the same. I used to believe that I was broken, damaged, and a victim, and that nobody would ever love me. I've been happily married for 11 amazing years to the love of my life, the co-founder of our two children. Like that's all stories that we tell ourselves. And from trauma, you can definitely get a lot of stories about that diminish your self-worth, that question your enoughness, and that make you feel like you're fundamentally flawed. And you can also change those stories. Because when I found out that lawyer that I had admired and how purposeful she was had also had a very similar childhood to mine, I was like, done. Like, I can still have a successful family and a loving relationship and amazing things. It can be done. And that was when I started on my path to like, I'm going to figure out how. And but the first step was figuring out with bulimia and healing that and saying, okay, I know I have this problem. I'm going to work through this. And that's how I healed myself with no psychological or medical intervention within 2 years.
Oh, wow. Interesting. And so now, I mean, when we look at you, Kimberly, your work has been featured on Netflix, ESPN, CW, and all of these amazing platforms. You know, how did these opportunities come about? And what lessons have you learned from all that you've been able to accomplish vis-a-vis your upbringing, your background?
So I've always been a very driven person. I've always been very audacious. I don't think that's like necessarily just coming from a trauma response. I think that's also just who I am. and so that understanding of myself and being able to put myself out there and make big asks. So I've always been very audacious with my asks. And so that's how I found out how you get anything. That's how I got my first screenplay. That's how I got to become president of an e-commerce startup at 24. That's how I took a product to market. That's how I got it into national magazines and on the Times Square billboards. Like everything I did stemmed from making a big ask. And it wasn't until I was bought out of my e-commerce company where 3 months before I was supposed to get married, we had just pitched it to the first round of Shark Tank auditions. We're going for angel investing. And my business partner says, I want to buy you out. Like, I don't want you a part of the company. He actually didn't say he wanted to buy me out. He said he wanted me out. And I was like, to get me out, you're going to have to pay. But it was 3 months of dealing with lawyers that for the first time in my life, I actually questioned myself as a business owner. I questioned because I had these professional men coming at me and it brought up all of my childhood trauma stuff. It brought up, oh, I'm too feminine. I'm too outspoken. I don't have a degree. I've got a high school education. Technical education, but I've gone on to have 13 certifications. Like there's so many things that were brought up that were insecurities that I didn't know were insecurities until these professional men in a legal setting where you're fighting for like a proper compensation for your work, that came up. And so we signed the buyout agreement 3 weeks before I got married. I went off on my honeymoon for 6 weeks in Italy. I was like, I don't know what I'm doing, like when I get home. And my husband and I were brainstorming, as you do on your entrepreneur, you know, with, when you're married to an entrepreneur. So we were brainstorming, and I just had this download where I leaped off the couch and I said, crown yourself. And my husband's like, what's that? I said, it's kind of like holistic, where you combine the business with the body, with the relationships. And I had this whole vision, but the problem was for a year and a half, I struggled with execution of anything other than productive procrastination in my business. Why? Because my self-worth had been so diminished. My belief in myself and my ability to run a business, everything, I bought into these other people's belief systems and accepted them as my own. And I totally plagiarized my life around it, to where I made $100 in 1 year for my first year in business. That was it. Like, it was, that's how low my self-worth was. And it was from that space that I'm so grateful I went through that, because now I've been able to coach men and women who are in that space, who they got to a point where they had some success and then they had the failure after. And that's really hard sometimes when you're on the other side of success and the pedestal comes crumbling down. And what you, all the things that you thought you built for yourself, that you thought were like, this is going to be the thing, and it crumbles. And then it takes a lot of courage to be able to get yourself back up. And what I had to realize was all of the beliefs that caused me to get into about $40,000 worth of debt and make only $100 in that first year of business was all the same beliefs that I had when I was bulimic. It was the same beliefs that I had when I was a child, like the beliefs of not being enough, the beliefs of low self-worth, the belief of being damage or not having enough education or not having enough training. So 12 certifications later, like getting all of that stuff, getting all that training and certification, all the things that I thought I had to do to prove that I was good at what I did, that's all just an illusion. And when you realize that your self-worth does not come from the outside, it does not come from the external, it comes from the little tiny moments of integrity when you keep your own word to yourself. It comes from those silent goals that you have, that you say, I'm going to do this by this, and you complete that. And that's how you build that integrity, which then helps to rebuild the structure and financial foundation of your business and your life.
Those tiny moments of keeping your word to yourself. You've said a lot, Kimberly, but something you said before jumped out at me, and that was productive procrastination. Let's head to the car park and discuss that.
So productive procrastination, I like to say, it's anything that really doesn't produce results, but it makes you feel like you're really busy and doing like a lot of good work. And it comes down to intention, and it comes down to the results that it's producing. So for example, I've seen productive procrastination in the terms of like, we since launched a second business this past year, which is our podcast guesting agency, Communication Queens. And through that, I've had so many calls with people who have gone on podcasts, they've guested on podcasts, and they're like, yeah, I've guested on like 40 podcasts in 1 month. And I was like, did you produce an ROI? Like, was there any return of investment on your time or leverageable results after? And they're like, wait, what? So sometimes it's same with social media, same with, you know, oh, I'm producing all these social media images so that they're really great on Canva. Well, that's great. And if your social media looks nice, but what's your bottom line look like? So being able to look at like, what is that ultimate end result that is the thing that actually takes those little leaps of courage that you need to take? So for example, like going on a podcast interview and then following up and building a relationship with the podcaster and making it not just this like one thing that you do that's like a nice little ego boost, because yeah, you get in front of a new audience, but that actually produces results and that actually can be a win-win-win for everybody involved. Like that's what we teach and coach our clients to do inside of our agency is like build a relationship. You're spending a 20 minutes to an hour of time. It's like a first date. Like see where it goes. See how you can serve somebody else. See how you can co-promote what they're doing, how you can cheer them on. And maybe there's a collaborative opportunity in the future. But like look at what is that bottom line? Same with when I was starting my business and when I was in productive procrastination mode, I would be building funnels like nobody's business. No one was coming into the funnels because I wasn't asking them to come into the funnels. So most people are scared of rejection. And so it's any activity that makes you face the beast of potentially getting rejected by another human, like that's the one that you get to tackle. Canva images don't tackle it. A podcast interview doesn't necessarily tackle it unless you are scared to get on a podcast interview. Then that could be your thing. So it just depends on where you are in your business and what is your intention and what is that actual fear that's holding you back from doing the thing.
I'm speechless, and not because I don't have anything to say, Kimberly, but because when you said productive procrastination, I instantly knew what you meant. And I'm like, wow, okay. Finally, there's somebody that has put a name to it. I was starting the Entrepreneurial You podcast. I was extremely productive. I was doing everything. I was on a 100-day plan to getting to my objective of launching my podcast. And I was doing everything, being productive, you know. But the one thing that I needed to do was to go in front of the screen, start recording. And that was the thing I was procrastinating on. And subconsciously, I knew that what I was doing, everything else besides what I needed to do because of the fear. And even now, there are some things like I want to podcast, and it's a thing that I'm going to be doing, you know, I have on my agenda, and I'm doing everything else besides things that are needed to go out and to reach out to those podcasters. So I get it, because of fear sometimes. It's because you second guess yourself. It's because you question yourself. And again, as we go through life, at different stages, we think that we have overcome different parts of the trauma. But then as we advance further, we recognize that, hey, there are some residual effects of the trauma that you've been through, and it's holding you back. So spend a little moment on the different, like the higher you go, you know, different levels, different devils kind of vibe. Mm-hmm. How does trauma play out when you thought that, oh, I was over this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I actually think it's new level, same damn devil, just in a different form. That devil, because so for example, the productive procrastination, right? I caught myself in this last week where I was like, I can build a system like a mofo. Like I'm a Virgo. Like it is building efficient systems. I can build a process like nobody's business. And I'm like, this is efficient. And it will, now that I actually have people in my funnels, like goodness, like moving through, but like I can build really efficient systems. Sometimes, like one of the roles as CEO is that you are to hold higher relationships. So you build the system, but then you're not supposed to be working in the system. And I caught myself just the other week going back, and there was just a couple things that I needed to catch up on. And I'd been gone at a conference. So I was like, oh, but we still need the podcast to go out. So I went in instead of telling my team, because I have a team, they're amazing. They're four amazing queens. And instead of telling them, I went in and was like, I'm going to do this. And as I'm doing it, I'm like, Kim, what are you doing? You're supposed to be following up with the people you met at the conference.
Exactly.
It was one of those moments of like, oh my gosh, what the heck? So right now, what we're focusing on is getting our clients booked on the top 1% of podcasts and building those relationships with those top, top, top podcasts. And that new level of like, oh, these are new conversations with new people that have like more influence. It's like, there's still people, like we still put our pants on ideally the same way. Like we all go to the bathroom, like we're all human. So the biggest thing that I see most people hold back from is either when they have to use their voice and like speak up, share their voice, share their message. That's like getting themselves on screen to do like a 90-second TikTok reel is like, oh my gosh. So scary for some. For some, it's, you know, getting your podcast out and actually using your voice and doing the episodes. For others, it's like actually delegating. So it's looking at what is, as you're elevating your role as CEO, which is the job, is like you want to be working less in the business and working more on the business as you grow. As you're elevating your role, there are certain levels that will have new levels of rejection and fear that still come up. So you're not ever immune to it. It just is, the voice is a little less loud. And sometimes you catch yourself a lot quicker rather than like with my first year in my coaching business, it took a year and then getting pregnant to have the realization of, oh, I should probably be making money at this business, to now I'm like, oh, now I caught myself within a couple hours.
Mm-hmm. All right. So then finally, how do you crown yourself and build your empire fearlessly? I know it's a very loaded question.
It's a very loaded question, but it's one very simple word. Courage. Yeah. It just takes courage. And it takes that, having the courage to make those big asks, to ask for support, to ask for the sale, to ask for the referral, to make that next ask, because it always is on the other side of a person. As Dan Sullivan, the founder of Strategic Coach, says, it's not how, it's who. And most people get tripped up on the how, like, how do I launch a podcast? How do I get booked on podcasts? How do I do this? It's not how. You got to talk to a person. Whether it's a who of having an agency, or whether it's a who of having a coach, or whether it's a who of, like, here's a friend who has a podcast and here's a referral. Like, you gotta, your next best step is on the side of that big ask. And that ask involves asking a person. It's not building a system. It's not doing a Canva image. It is asking a person. Have the courage to build relationships.
Well said. All I'm going to ask you for at this time, Kimberly Spencer, is your contact details, because I know people want to reach out to you. My listeners want to reach out to you and learn more from you.
Yeah. If you love this conversation, then just head on over to crownyourself.com and click the button that says work with me, and we can have a conversation. If you love podcasts like this one, you can definitely check out crownyourself.com/podcast and listen to the Crown Yourself podcast. And if you're interested in podcast guesting, then head on over to communicationqueens.com and click the button that says get booked to book your 100K profit from guest podcasting call.
Wow, wow, wow. Thank you so much, Kimberly Spencer. You are so amazing. You are indeed a gem. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Hennika. And right back at you, queen. Takes a queen to know a queen.
Absolutely. Well received. All right. Kimberly Spencer did share her incredible journey and insights on building empires fearlessly. And of course, you heard the one word, right? That one word. I bet you didn't expect that. I bet you expected her to share like a paragraph and stuff. But she said courage. Yeah, courage. And that's all it takes. Right. So you're going to affirm. But anyway, we'll go into the affirmations after this. But I want you to visit crownyourself.com for more inspiration. I'm sure you were inspired, motivated, and you want more. So go after more, seek and you shall find. As well as please stay tuned to more episodes coming from the Entrepreneurial You podcast. To our listeners, to all of you, I want to say thank you so much. You have been amazing for tuning in week after week after week. And for you who are listening to the very first time, I thank you so much that you came here. I want to help you. If it is that you are interested in starting your own podcast, but guess what? You just think that you don't have the time. It's just too much. It's too daunting. You don't have to worry about that. Let the Entrepreneurial You Media do it for you. All you have to do is just show up. Yeah, man, just show up. That's it. Yeah, it's as simple as that. All right, we'll be happy to do that. So from editing to distribution, we're going to handle it all for you. And all you have to do is show up. So visit HennikaWatkisSupporter.com to learn more about me. Check out these episodes, blogs, etc., etc., etc. And let us continue to shine and, you know, share our brilliance with the world, because we're indeed brilliant. We're indeed awesome, amazing. All right, looking forward to hearing from you at HennikaWatkisSupporter.com. Affirm with me, please, as I enter into meaningful conversations. I embrace the empowerment present in my exchange. My purpose is to amplify messages of strength and provide everyone that I come in contact with the tools to foster self-improvement and construct your own path to success. Let's make every interaction transformative and impactful. Be courageous. Do take care.